You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
I know the thing that keeps you awake most at night is your team, because without a fully productive team, you don't have a solid business. I know for me, as I started to service less clients and change my mindset that my team were now my new clients that I was responsible for, it was only then that my business really started to grow and explode. I'm excited to interview today Samantha Gadd. Now, she is the founder of Humankind and another business called Kin. And today she's going to talk to us about the employee experience. Let's jump straight into the interview. Hey, Samantha, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you.
Nice to see you too. It's been great. It's really nice to be invited. Thank you.
So we met a couple of years ago in Fiji at a conference, which was a pretty awesome experience. So I'm really pleased to have you here because you kind of own the space of a topic that's really important, and that is the employee experience.
Thank you. Yeah, Fiji was awesome. It's a great place to meet.
So look, why don't you give us a little bit of background about how you got started and what you do. Take us into your world a little bit.
Sure. So coming up 6 years ago, I started my business, which is called Humankind. It actually began as a business called HR Shop, and we rebranded about a year and a half ago. I'm a mum of three boys, so they're 9, 7, and 4, so that keeps me pretty busy outside of work. And last year I founded my second business, which is called Kin, which is focused on reshaping the recruitment industry. Essentially how I got into business was I started a career after studying HR in Wellington. I started a career in Wellington in HR, and after getting a little bit disillusioned with HR, thinking it was more around politics and paperwork, I trained as a life coach. So I went into coaching, and then thought at that point that I might start my own coaching business. And this is when I was pregnant with my first son. Quite quickly, as soon as I left my last permanent employed job, which was about 10 years ago, I started getting inquiries from the market from small and medium businesses that needed help with their people stuff. Because just like a large business, small businesses have people challenges too. And I recognised that there was no one to help these businesses. So you might have 5 staff, 10 staff, 20 staff, and there was no one to kind of get that HR advice from. So that sort of outsourced HR for small businesses. And it was really just a good time in the market. So for a few years, I was an independent contractor, and I had a portfolio of small businesses that I would help doing HR. And then seriously, once my plate got too full, I started a business in this space. And it happened to be that I also knew a whole bunch of amazing women who wanted interesting part-time work that was paid well and really flexible, which is what these small businesses, was a perfect match, really. And so it was kind of once I launched HR Shop in April 2012, it was sort of like starting a steam train. You couldn't really stand in front of the growth. So today we've got about 30 staff across the country, and that includes 5 for Kin. And we are working with organisations right across New Zealand, big and small, helping them to build amazing employee experiences.
Now, I really love that you actually call it an employee experience, because I think it's so easy when we're running a business, a small business. The dynamic of a small business is you're wearing all the hats. You're doing the marketing, you're doing the client servicing, you're managing the team. And I think it's really easy to forget that we actually need to provide an experience for our employees. So I know you've got some great tips that you want to share with us and the things that you've learned over the years. So tell us, what are your kind of the most insightful things? What are your 3 tips to share with us?
Sure. Okay. Well, maybe I'll start with what employee experience is, because employee experiences are quite a hot topic at the moment. And like, if you look at, say, any of the reports that come out from Deloitte and those types of organisations, it's CEOs, one of the number one things they're focused on is employee experience. But a lot of people actually can't define what employee experience is or how you go about creating great employee experiences. So we've spent quite a bit of time having employed recently an expert in customer experience and strategy. Him and I have spent quite a lot of time putting our heads together and formulating what our definition at Humankind of employee experience is. And what we've come up with is that it's the summary of experiences across these four aspects at work. So it's leadership, people operations, of which most of the HR stuff fits into, environment and tools. And if you think about it, all of the interactions that we have at work every day, whether it be with our manager, whether it be during our onboarding or talking about our pay or having a performance review, or whether it be about the facilities we have at work, where we have our coffee, if there's a place to sit down away from customers, whether we've got the right tools and equipment to do our job that enable us to be successful, all of those things actually impact how we feel at work every day. And how we feel, of course, directly impacts our behaviours. So one of the things that we're really excited about, and my business has evolved a lot over the last few years, is having kind of landed on employee experience is absolutely where we play. We're really excited because employee experience directly impacts customer experience, which of course directly impacts the commercial outcomes for our customers, for our clients. So there's a really good reason for us to focus on this stuff. It's not just pretty words. We're not just talking about culture and all that kind of stuff that people talk about and don't really understand what the ROI is. We really want our clients to know, or businesses in general to know, that anything that they invest in employee experience actually has a direct impact to their bottom line. So maybe that's just kind of a place to start to give people a bit of a hint on what employee experience is. And in terms of where organisations can start and what I believe is really important to focus on for us as business leaders, there's some really simple things that don't cost us any money that we all should be doing that I believe really has an impact on how people feel at work with us. And so I've broken it down into three things, which is what we talked about earlier. So the first is to connect. And we really need to be able to connect one-on-one with our employees. And how I describe it is creating one-size-fits-one employee experiences. So I don't know, if you're working for me, I don't know what's important to you unless I really understand who you are. And so obviously people turn up to work and they're there to do a job and fill a role, but you're also, you know, you're a whole person. So we always encourage to bring your whole self to work. So are you a mum? Are you looking after a sick parent when you get home at night? Are you someone that really is into animals and goes away every weekend and rides horses? Like who are you? What sort of person are you? And unless If I'm a manager or if I'm a leader, unless I understand each of the people that work in my team and who they are as individuals, it's very difficult for me to be able to actually connect with them and build a relationship to the point where I can really understand what drives them and what's going to work in terms of keeping them for longer in our team. And the reason to do that, obviously, is it's really expensive to hire people and it's really expensive when they resign. So there's a really, you know, commercial reason to connect and be able to provide that one size fits one experience.
I think especially in the service industry, when we're relying on our employees to create a relationship with the customers quite directly, so that becomes even more important. You invest in that person, they build these relationships. It's really expensive when they go because that relationship.
Absolutely. They could walk out with your customers. And I love the example of, you know, you go to a 5-star hotel and you've got someone serving you. If they've never experienced 5-star service, how on earth would they ever expect to be able to give 5-star service? So if you're treating your employees like rubbish, how do you expect them to treat your customers? So I think it really is a real direct correlation there. Yes. The second thing around being able to connect and being a modern leader is around being vulnerable. So none of us are perfect. And as a business owner or a business leader, we're certainly no more perfect than any of the people that we employ. And I feel like to be able to really genuinely connect with people, you've kind of got to show your weaknesses as well, which I think is something that's become more evident in the last, you know, say 10, 15 years, and particularly now. No one wants to work with someone that knows all the answers all the time. No one wants to work with someone that always gets it right and never fails like that. It's not possible. None of us are really like that. So sharing with your employees and your staff that you might be nervous or you might be worried about something, or, you might be scared about something, or actually you tried something and it didn't work, but that's okay because you can try something else. So you fail fast, all that stuff. It really helps build true connections, because then your staff will be able to do the same with you, and you know, you can move on and kind of grow your business versus just doing the same thing all the time because you're scared to try something new.
Yeah, and I think if you're working with somebody who's perfect all the time as a boss, it's really hard to live up to that. And then there's not the environment that you can get it wrong or if you screw up. And in fact, it lowers productivity, I would say.
Hugely lowers productivity, and also lowers that kind of innovation and creativity that you'd want at work, because you won't be able to keep up with your competitors if you guys aren't thinking about, you know, the newest way to service your clients or how to improve the business. You'll be left behind. Being vulnerable is critical.
I actually think that actually takes the pressure off the business owner, you know, to not actually have to know all the answers and be the one to front up. I remember a time actually being, I used to get quite nervous prior to a staff meeting because it was exactly that. I felt the pressure that I needed to know all the answers. What if they asked me something that I didn't know? But I realised somewhere along the line, I don't need to know all the answers. I just need to know how to ask good questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, I am just super honest with my team around the fact that, you know, I'm learning every day. I've never started and grown a business before this one. So everything's trial and error. And we get things wrong, and we do all the time, but we also get a lot of stuff right. And so celebrating success feels really good when you've also kind of acknowledged that not everything goes swimmingly. And actually the questions thing's a really good point. Like, I've had quite a few times in the last year where people have come to me with a challenge and I've been like, so if you were me, what would you do? Because I don't know the answer necessarily, but often people have the answers within themselves for their own challenges. So just using those coaching skills and actually getting them to use their brain and think for themselves is a good thing. And then people own the solution too.
Yeah, that's right. And they're more likely to go and deal with it, follow through and complete a task when they've been part of that process, right?
Yeah, I agree. So, and then the last thing, so if building strong connections is number one, showing that vulnerability and not being scared to fail is kind of number two. The last thing that I'd say, if you had to kind of focus on just three things, is really having a purpose to what you do. So my purpose, and it's been my purpose since I started my career, but is also the purpose of both my companies, is helping people to love what they do. And genuinely, that is what spins my wheels. When I walk into our office and I see our team really happy, loving what they're doing in a beautiful space, working with awesome clients, that is what gets me out of bed every day. And also, like, most modern employees, so, you know, what employees want has changed over time. And most modern employees want to know that they're making a positive difference in the world versus just making a business owner money. Like, it's just not motivating. So if you're, of course, you need to be realistic, and a business needs to make profit. And I talk about profit openly all the time in our business, because if we don't have profit, we can't hire more people and buy cool tools and, you know, grow new offices and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's got to be more about more than that. So really understanding, like, what is it that drives you? Why did you start your business? What is it that stands you apart from your competitors? And why? Like, why do you get out of bed every day? And then being able to articulate that all the time is really critical for creating great employee experiences.
I like your why, and I think what I hear people ask us a lot, I don't know my why. And I wonder if there's a little bit of, you know, we feel like it needs to be this big thing, but in fact it can be really simple. A simple why is just making other people feel good or look good, right? It doesn't have to be a big change the world type of purpose statement.
I totally agree. And actually, one of the ways you can figure out what your why is, or you may become clear on your why, is when something really upsets you, think about why you're upset. So I had a time in 2015 in my business, you know, things were not amazing. I had a couple of people that were a little bit toxic, and the workplace had become one where I had one of my juniors say to me, you know what, Sam, I actually would rather work from home at the moment. I don't really like coming in. I remember actually crying because I was like, this is not what I've created. And immediately that really sunk home, that my purpose was to help people love what they do. And if I've got someone that I personally employ that doesn't even want to come into the office, there's something really wrong there. So when your purpose is kind of challenged, that's almost when it becomes more clear about why you do what you do. So sometimes if you think about, if you're wondering what your why is, if you think about times that you've been really upset or kind of hurt or felt like really challenged, that might help you to get some more clarity.
That's just perfect. That's exactly the answer I think we needed to hear. That's great. Thanks. Now, look, you are a business owner as well as helping other business owners. What is a quote or a mantra that keeps you sane or keeps you going or keeps you motivated?
So this mantra is something that I realized over time. So having been in business now for coming up 6 years, certainly wasn't something I realized in the earlier couple of years, but now totally is front of mind all of the time. And it's that everything only lasts for a moment. So what I mean by that is when you're having, you know, if you get some really bad feedback or one of your staff members are unhappy or you have a bad month revenue wise or whatever it is, it's only going to last for a moment. So yeah, you might have to feel that pain and realize that you're in that situation. But the reality is it will pass. And the same with a real high. So if you hire this person that you think is going to be amazing or you win a couple of new awesome clients or whatever the thing is that really spins your wheels, that too will only last for a moment. So just kind of enjoy it and then recognize that, you know, it will pass. And I think that it is actually something that's kept me really sane because it is a roller coaster. Anyone that runs a business knows it's a complete roller coaster. And sometimes you're at a high and you're at a low and you're at a high and a low all within the same day or even in the same hour. Like, it's just mental. So knowing that things will only last for a moment has really helped me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love that it's, you've got it for both sides, not just the negative, but actually the positive, because that just keeps you grounded too.
Keeps you grounded. And it also, you know, in a services business, I mean, I'm in a services business too. Literally, you're always as good as your last client, or you're only as good as your last client. So you've got to constantly, you can never let your guard down. You constantly are focusing on quality and service and looking after your people and looking after your clients and this quality of your space. So there's no kind of like sitting back and going, I'm done now. Like, that just doesn't happen.
That's right. And I think that's something I realized for teams, actually. And I can hear this in the people that I work with. It's like, when I get these people in place, I'll have the perfect team and then my business will be perfect. It's like, no, there's no end. It's always just going to be a rolling ball and there'll always be new people coming in and new people going out. And so the more of those three things that you've talked about that you have up and are clear about, then you can deal with the rolling in and the rolling out, right? No one's there forever.
I think that's true. And actually, that is something else I've really learned. It sort of really came home for me last year in particular that, you know, when I first started in business and I had my first, second, third resignation, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm, you know, crying to my pillow about it. But now with a team of kind of 30 people, the reality is that people do leave. And it, actually, they're not leaving because they hate the business or hate me or anything like that. Yeah. It's just their time to go. And you find then another awesome person that comes in and joins and brings something new. And it's actually, I find it quite exciting now that you can have that change. And I'm confident that our business, our clients, our brand is bigger than just one or two people. I know it's scary when you're a small business owner and you've got potential of clients leaving, but I think if you back yourself that actually your business is more than just one person leaving. Yeah, it gives a bit of sort of, I don't know, hope.
That's right. At least tears in the pillow at night.
Exactly.
So what is a book or a podcast or a webinar or something that, you know, you read or that you suggest to fill up your tank, you know, to keep you going?
Yeah, cool. So there's a couple actually. So in terms of podcasts, one that I really like is called The Future of Work, and it's by a guy called Jacob Morgan, and he interviews top executives and HR people, culture professionals globally around sort of changes and stuff that they're seeing. He does a whole bunch of other stuff, so you've got to pick through which ones you listen to, but there's some excellent ones around building awesome employee experiences and stuff we need to think about. So that's been really cool over the last couple of years. And then in terms of books, one that I couldn't put down was Maverick, which was a story around someone that was really, really, really well ahead of his time in terms of leadership, really giving all the power back to the employees, taking away hierarchy, full transparency around pay, a whole bunch of stuff within a manufacturing organization. It was very cool to see something different. And then, you know, there's the classic like Good to Great, which I think most business owners would agree would be up there for the top business books they've read.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, well, look, thank you. It's been a wealth of knowledge and insight. And I think this whole mindset change around focusing on the employee experience, I think that's a mindset change that we need to adopt. I know certainly for me, as I stopped servicing so many clients, and started turning my team into my primary client, that was when my own business started to take off, and we really grew dramatically. So thank you so much for your insights. It's been really useful. I'm very pleased to have you. So look, where can people reach out and find you, and what's your dub? People I know will want to stalk you.
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn, which is obviously is my name, so Samantha Gadd, and then our websites are www.humankind.nz, and if you want to have a look at Kin, it's www.kin.co.nz, and I'd be really happy to connect with any of you. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but probably LinkedIn's my primary.
Awesome. Thanks, yeah. Sam.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Larissa.
So there you have it. If you focus on the four areas of an employee experience, you really can't go wrong. And as Sam suggested, focusing on leadership, on your own leadership style, on the operational environment, and making sure that the operations run smoothly. Life shouldn't be hard. Your environment, ensuring that your culture, your salon culture, and your physical space is a great place to be in. And giving your employees the tools to not only do good work, but tools on how to succeed. I know one of the biggest challenges is attracting good employees into your business, you know, in the first place. And so that's why I created the How to Attract a Rockstar Team guide. I've put the download onto this episode page on the website, www.salonownerscollective.com/episodes. And if you can find this episode, you can download it. It's time to change your approach in attracting and employing a team into your business. So jump in and grab it. It's completely free. Thank you for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective today. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.